Chris Hansen, Christopher Hansen. That's spelled K-R-I-S-T-O-F-E-R-S-O-N. All right, so talk about your influences. Well, I know where some of your influences are. If you forget to mention them, I'm chiming in. Okay, go.
I don't know how I could possibly mention them all. My earliest memory was Peter, Paul, and Mary on one of those old console radios. You know, the big, it's a piece of furniture. It's a huge oak furniture. When I was barely old enough to walk, I was able to crawl out of my crib. And I would sneak out of my crib and I'd get to the records and try to play Pup the Magic Dragon on the console. Okay. So like, that's my first musical memories. And then growing up too, going to the lake during the summer and stuff on Saturday nights, we'd always listen to A Prairie Home Companion. So like, these things are getting embedded. The folk, the folky thing, the storytelling.
Which is crazy because just to give some context of how I wouldn't have known that when we really started hanging out and then went to college and roommates.
I was not that aware of it at that time either, to be honest, because I'm coming out of the grunge era. I'm still wearing flannel today, but, you know, and pop music, and I had played many different instruments growing up, but it wasn't until college that the acoustic immediacy connection with the audience, that authentic thing where it's not an act, it's just you are playing something or expressing something relational or whatever, that woke something up.
If I can just go there, you know, you had this girl and there was some heartbreak involved, and then
it was my freshman year at the University of Minnesota Morris. I was just kind of having a rough time, and I remember walking through the student center, and that's attached to the old Edson Auditorium in the middle of campus, and the doors were open. There was a concert going on in there, and it was a folk duo, and they were just belting these harmonies and playing acoustic guitars, and I snuck into the back, leaned against the back wall. I had never heard these guys before, but something was mesmerizing. It just like hit me like a ton of bricks. I just vowed at that moment, I'm like, I'm going to learn how to sing and I'm going to learn how to play the guitar.
Boom.
Yes. That same year, as I'm learning to play guitar, I'm realizing I kind of have a little bit of a knack for group congregational kind of song leading. And, you know, a couple times a week, large events, that was formative for me as well. The ability to connect with people and looking at music, not as a performance only, but as a practical service that people need. That was a germ or a seed that was planted in me that I started to see music not commercially or thinking about what people like, but thinking about what people need.
I love that.
Music is not merely entertainment. It's a necessary service. And that's my whole approach for my music. Just like any other person practicing a trade, the value you deliver is your expertise and your knowledge and your experience and your availability.
I love that.
And only in the last 100 years are we seeing, and our relationship to music is, we're just consuming it and we're being entertained by it and we see it as a product. And I think we've forgotten how sacred music really is. I think to commodify it cheapens music. I think it has far greater value than monetary. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be commercial music, there should be. But that shouldn't be our only relationship.
Right, right.
To music. I mean, how often have you seen as a DJ, you know, people misapplying music that is not really meant for what people are using it for, because they don't really understand music that way. My point is, I'm just trying to re-educate people and to help reestablish in my community music as a service for different purposes and any event or any occasion that it's needed and that value can be added. I want to do that, whether it's background music at a fundraiser or music at a funeral or whatever it is.
I love it. I think people are waiting with bated breath. We've had Ryan Jones on. We've got Christopher Hansen here. We want to hear something. So you've got a guitar there. Yeah. So yeah. I would love to hear something that you're playing. He has a website now. It's fresh and clean for 2021, ChristopherHansen.com. Here's what I found in what you've already done in the last, you know, section of time with your lovely wife, Susie, when you guys get together and harmonize, you know, that's the stuff that people clamor for. But I'd love to hear something. Let's see what we can do here.
Do you want me to sing or something, or do you want me to play something instrumental?
Whatever you feel. This is your moment. And hey, that'd be cool if Susie walked in and she could harmonize. But you know what? It's you right now, so let's go.
Okay, yeah. Well, you were talking about Susie. So I'll play a song about Susie. On Susie's guitar, no less. All I want in this creation, pretty little wife on a big plantation. And all I need to make me happy, two little boys to call me pappy. With oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty little Sue, oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty. All I want in this wide world is smiling, blonde and curly girl. Another thing makes life complete, a loyal hound dog on my feet. With oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty little Sue, oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty. She serves me up a frosty ale, her garden's growing squash and kale. Can I say about my Sue that all these dreams and more came true? With oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty little Sue, oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty little Sue, oh my pretty little Susie, oh my pretty little Sue, oh my pretty little Susie.
That's a pretty little ditty, Chris, for your beautiful wife, Susie.
Thanks, Mark.
It's been a great day chatting about the Civil Wars. Thanks for listening to Spark Studios Session 1, Episode 3. Have a great week, everybody. Don't go back to party hollers. They're gonna find me. They're not going.